For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Attentive this morning and hear the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is most precious and valuable in this earth today. It is what gives men and women direction and what shows men and women the truth. Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we thank you for what you have deposited into all of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we are blessed with faithful Abraham in all things. We thank you, Father, that your word is truth. Your word is truth to us. It is not fantasy or fiction, but is truth. And we praise you for that, Lord. Show us today. Show us today as we look at your confirming of your word. As we look at that, show us the truth of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're looking today at God confirms his word. God confirms his word, a very important topic, because as biblical Christians, we are to be biblical. That is, we are to be people of the word of God. Let's first of all look at Mark 16, verses 14 to 16. Mark 16. And we'll start from verse 14 and then go down to verse 16. Now, this is a section which shows the words of Jesus in relation to believing the word and not having unbelief and hardness of heart. So Jesus is not pleased with that type of attitude, that type of heart. And you'll see that as we start in verse 14. And it says, "And afterward he," that's Jesus, "appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen." So, just before we go on, remember that Jesus had prophesied that he was going to rise again on the third day. So he had prophesied that. They should have believed that. And then when the witnesses came and said, "He is risen," they should have believed that, because it agreed with the word of God, which he had spoken. However, they had made a decision to not believe and to have hardness of heart. And that is a very important thing for us to realise, that if you want to please God, and in fact if you want to go forward in God, you must make decisions to believe and to get your heart so that it's not got hardness in it. Okay? Hardness, of course, is resistant to the seed of the word of God, and you can see that from the parable of the sower, for example. And the word of God must come into your heart, be planted in there, and grow for anything to happen in our lives. Verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So here we see a directive, a commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ to go ye into all the world. And obviously the church of God is meant to do this. The Lord Jesus Christ has said, "Go ye into all the world." Now the world, as we know, is this present current world, is the system of fallen man. Okay, and it has a fallen angel over it, which is the devil. He's called the god, little g, of this world. But we're to go into all the world. The world is not a neutral place. The world is a place which is very much at enmity with God and his word. But we're to go into all the world and do something which a lot of people think is foolish, which is preach. Preach the gospel to every creature. And of course that's talking about every creature that can believe, which is men and women. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth what? Believes the gospel. Okay? Believes the gospel. So believing in God's eyes is very, very important. So people can make a choice. Either I believe the gospel that Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead for me and is alive today for me, is the living Saviour, and I can receive him as my Saviour. They can either believe that or they can reject it. So there is a decision. And the decision you can see here is either believing or believing not. I believe or I believe not. It's not just that section of the Word of God about the gospel, but it's the whole of the Word of God, which is believing the truth, believing what the Word of God has to say. So if you look at verse 20 now, go down to verse 20, and it says, and they went forth. So obviously they went forth in obedience, didn't they? And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now notice it says the Lord working with them. Now God can't work with people that are doing nothing. Okay? You see, he's working with them. With them. So as people step out, as it says there, they went forth and preached, as people step out, the Lord can work with you, or with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Now, confirming the word is a very important thing to understand, because confirming the word means that the word is shown to be truth and is manifested as that in our lives. Now, those who reject the word of God, the word won't be confirmed to them, okay? Because they refuse to believe. They refuse to accept it. And they will stay sometimes for years in darkness. Some might never come out of that darkness. But the word is always confirmed to those who make a decision to believe it and to act upon it. Have a look at Acts 14. We'll look at verses 5 to 10 in Acts 14. So here we saw in Mark 16 that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Now Acts 14 enlightens us a little bit about that preaching of the gospel and an understanding of what the gospel is. So the gospel, and I sometimes use the term full gospel, the gospel is for the whole man, spirit, soul and body. A lot of people only preach that you must be born again, and some don't even do that, or you have to be saved. And yes, that's good, that's important, to get your spirit born again. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Yet your spirit born again is absolutely crucial. You have to go, to do that, get your spirit born again, and then you have entry into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of heaven. But you know, God wants to do much more than that in our lives, and that is, he wants us to be whole, spirit, soul and body, so we can be witnesses and functioning in the kingdom of God for him as well. And he's got a lot of things he needs us to do and wants us to do. Let's look at Acts 14, starting from verse 5. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there, what does it say they did? There they preached the gospel. And notice what it says in the next verse. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The same heard Paul speak. So do you think Paul was one in verse 7 that preached the gospel? Certainly. And so the gospel that he was hearing Paul speak must have had something in it to kindle faith or to bring faith as he believed. Okay, so the gospel must indeed touch spirit, soul and body and talk about the redemption of the whole man, spirit, soul and body. Verse 9 says, the same heard Paul speak. So this man who was impotent, who was a cripple, never walked, heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived that he had faith to be healed. So we see he perceived he had faith to be healed. This man's been listening to what I've been saying because Paul was speaking. We see that in verse 9. He was listening to what Paul was saying. But not only was he listening to it, but he was believing it. He was believing, yes, Jesus came. He came and died for me. He bore my sicknesses, took my infirmities. Yes, he died for me. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am free. I am free if I believe. It's true. It's truth. And perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. So notice that he had perceived he had faith to be healed. And Paul, in line with that, gave a word. And the impotent man then had a decision. He could have said, no, I can't stand upright on my feet. I'm a cripple. Or he could start to stand upright on his feet. And as he started to stand upright on his feet, the word was confirmed with the sign following here, we see. And he leaped and walked. And says there, and we'll just leave it at that, verse 10. So we see that the gospel was preached. A man with a physical need heard Paul speaking, who was part of those preaching the gospel. And Paul saw that he had faith to be healed. Obviously, he was believing what Paul was saying. And Paul, through the Holy Ghost, gave a word for that man to act upon. And he did. Praise the Lord. And this is the case with the word going forth, the word going out, and we believe that word. And as we believe, we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is faith that will come, but there's also got to be action as we receive a word from the Lord. Now, a lot of times, and I've met up with it in the past, people say, yes, I believe the Bible, I believe it to be true, etc., etc., but they don't put value on it. I can think of several examples of people who I've spoken the word to. They've been in the church at various times, and ultimately they've rejected that word, and who knows where they are now. But certainly they desperately needed to hear and to believe and to act. Had they acted? In fact, there's one person I'm thinking that I don't normally go to a person's place and virtually plead with them to do the right thing, but I did with this man's, unfortunately he did not believe me, he did not receive what I had to say. Now he's dead. You know, that's just one example. He would still be here and alive, I believe, if he had listened. Now that's how serious it can be. These are serious things that people, you know, are in the world, but the world is full of enmity against God and his ways, and you just cannot dabble in that and think that it's okay. We have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Look at Isaiah 66. You see, you've got to have the right attitude about the Word of God. You've got to have the right understanding about it in your heart. And Isaiah 66, look at verse 2 first of all. This shows us how we should be approaching the Word of God if we want it to be confirmed in our life, and as we speak it, the Lord works with us and confirms the Word with us as well. Isaiah 66, we'll look at verse 2. And this is important to take hold of here. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. So you can see here that God will look to certain people. He's talking about a poor and of a contrite spirit. Now Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. Okay? Poor in spirit means they're giving out of their spirit. Okay? They're not self-centered. They're not looking to themselves. They're looking to, what can I do for you, Lord? What do you want? Okay? So you would expect such people to be prayerful, to be reverent before the Lord, to have the fear of the Lord, to understand that their actions as Christians, as believers, matter, whether it be actions by word or doing things, their actions matter. And it's to this type of person that the Lord will look, because they're esteeming the Lord, they're esteeming his ways. And it says, and trembleth at my word. What does it mean to be trembling at God's word? Well, it gives a picture of handling it as a holy thing. This is what's called the Holy Bible. Holy Bible. Because the Holy Bible, the Word of God, is not to be treated just as any old word. It's to be treated as the very Word of God. Not to worship it, but to reverence before the Lord and saying, well, your word is of such value to me that I fear the Lord enough that I will not try to alter it, I will not try to put it aside, but as you present it to me, I will take it as very food for myself. So a person who trembles at the word of God, they hold it in great value and esteem. Okay, this is very important to see. Those, and Jesus talked about those who, if you cast pearls before them, that's pearls of wisdom, so to speak, pearls of knowledge, what do they do? Do they tremble at it and say, well, this is very valuable, like a pearl? Oh, it's very valuable. Or what do they do? What do pigs do? They trample it, don't they, in the mud, trample it under feet. So those that don't value God's word, don't hold it as holy, Jesus gave that comparison. They're like pigs that trample it down under feet. That's quite a dramatic picture, if you think about it. Look also at Isaiah 66, verse 5, and it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. So let's just stop there for a minute. Hear the word of the Lord. And that's obviously not just sound waves bouncing onto your physical eardrums, and yes, I've heard sound, but it's hearing with your inner man, heart, ears. Because your inner man has ears. Ears to hear, Jesus talked about. Ears to hear. And he's saying, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Now, If you tremble at God's word, hold it to be holy, hold it to be very valuable, you will make a decision to hear the word of the Lord. So, whereas many don't think it important enough to come to church or to hear or other places to hear the word of the Lord, but see other things as important, you here do see it as very important to come and hear the word of the Lord, and it's important enough to receive from what God has said. And that's so very important. If you come here with that type of attitude, you're going to get something. You'll get something because the Lord will meet you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's drawing nigh. But if you say, I got something better to do on a Sunday, you know, I got shopping to do. Well, you know what Jesus would have said to that? He said, there's other days to do your shopping, you know, other days to do that. But you put the word of God in its right place. Trembling at the word of God is not saying, put the word aside, but it's saying, I put the word in its proper place as a holy thing, as something that the Lord has brought down from heaven, because that's what it tells us in the word of God, and has put it into earth, deposited, made a deposit into the earth, as holy men were moved by the Holy Ghost. They put down the word of God. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to put the word down for us. And then God superintended his word to bring it right to us perfectly today. What a wonderful thing God has done. You know, in an unholy, profane world, a filthy, sin-filled world, he's put something so pure and wonderful as his word into the earth. And through all the furnaces of the earth, he's brought it forth as pure to us today. Something to really think about and to take hold of. So verse 5 says, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. You know, we can be mocked and so on because we take a simple faith of believing the word as truth, you know, and by taking that, you can be mocked. You can be mocked, and people can say, what about that error? What about that? And so on, you know, not even approaching the word as something that's valuable and wonderful, but ready to mock it and to look for things that are wrong in it and so on. So you can see that the way we approach the word of God is very important if we want God to confirm his word in our life, and also when we preach and teach, for him to confirm, to work with us and confirm the word. You know, in Mark 16 we read that Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And then we read in verse 20, they went forth. So what did they do? They obeyed Jesus, didn't they? They took him at his word and they did what he said. And then the Lord was able to work with them and confirm his word with signs following. So God will tell us to do things and he'll work with us as well. All right. And as we have the right attitude to his word, we saw the trembling at his word and hearing his word, honouring it. Have a look at Psalm 119, verse 38. You know, I used to think, why is it that God's word doesn't seem to be working in that person's life? And I realised it's really not the word's problem, because the word is the precious seed. The word is pure and mighty and great. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing that's deposited. But I realise that there must be something wrong, not with the word, but with the people that the word seems to be coming to. So the word of God can come to people, but how do they approach it? How do they approach it? Look at verse 38 of Psalm 119. It says, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is what? Devoted to thy fear. Now, if you're devoted to something, now the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, is to have the reverence of the Lord in you, okay? And to depart from evil, reverence of the Lord is so very important because you value what the Master says. You value God's ways. You value His church. You value what He has said is important. See, Jesus, the Bible says that God paid for the church with His own blood. Jesus paid for the church with His own blood. He's God manifest in the flesh. He paid for the church. How valuable do you think the church is? And if you think about it, how is the Lord going to be looking at people who speak against the church, or who don't value it, or who think it's filled with all types of hypocrites and so on? Certainly not taking into account that Jesus said, I will build my church. So it's important for us to see that we must be devoted to the fear of the Lord. And that's regardless of what other people around you are or are not doing. It's saying, I personally am devoted to God's fear. I am His servant. Notice what will happen then. Establish thy word. God's word will be established in your heart, in your life. That means nailed down, made as a foundation, put as a fixture into your life. It'll be a strength to you. Imagine those who are not devoted to the fear of the Lord. How are they behaving? What are they like? Are they people that are dedicated to getting God's word to the lost? Are they people that are dedicated to funding the gospel, to helping the church? You know, the Bible talked about some people who are addicted to the ministry. Addicted, uses the word addicted in the positive sense. So we see that there is a devotion that the Lord sees as very valuable, because then he can establish His word to such people. That devotion to the fear of the Lord. Now there are people on the opposite side who are not devoted to the fear of the Lord, who don't value the word of God or the commandments of God. Let's have a look at what happens to them. Have a look at Proverbs 13, verse 13. And the question that we can bring with this one is the word of God confirmed to these people? It is confirmed in that by their rejection of it, there is destruction. But is it confirmed as truth to them in terms of they've believed it and God has confirmed the word with signs following through their believing of it? Okay? Or they've worked with it and God confirms the word as they've worked with it in a holy way. Proverbs 13, verse 13 gives us a clear indication of what happens when people don't handle the word of God properly. It says, whoso despiseth the word shall be what? Destroyed. So you can see why, if you put the word aside, or if people say, well, I don't receive the word, you can see where they're putting themselves into. They're putting themselves into a destructive area. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So there is a reward with the fear of the Lord. Okay? The fear of the Lord is connected with trembling at the word of the Lord. The fear feareth the commandment. If you think about it, the word of God as a whole is God's law, is God's truth, and it's established in the earth. You fear the commandment because you know that it is such a valuable, holy thing. It's not something to be dismissed. And despising the word, lightly esteeming it, it can be as simple as putting it aside out of your life and saying, well, that's not worthwhile, my while, to spend any time with it or in devotion or anything like that. And that is a destructive thing that comes into people's lives. So you can see why, when the word can come to people and yet it doesn't do them any good, because they're not believing it, they don't value it. Some of them are like those pigs that trample it underfoot in the mud. This is the reason that when the word comes to us, we have to have it as highly esteemed, as fearing the commandment, not as despising the word. Have a look at Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 6. Now, in this section of scripture, we see that the people of God were doing things that were putting aside the word out of their life. And by doing that, they were inviting great problems into their life. We just saw, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. So they were inviting destruction. And we want to see what type of destruction can be invited in as well, which we can see from Hosea 4 verse 6. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, so where would spiritual knowledge come from? It's not just going to come from the pub, is it? It's not going to come from the heathen or the world. It must be deposited somewhere in the church, because Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. That's what the scripture tells us. So it must be deposited somewhere. And what is it? The people of God hold the oracles of God, which is the word of God, isn't it? So this is where knowledge is, through the word of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, frankly, I don't think there's any excuse for having a lack of knowledge, particularly in the modern society. But what we do see is there's a lot of what we can call knowledge robbers all around. Okay? Time robbers, knowledge robbers all around. The internet, for example, is a wonderful resource. But the internet's like a huge library. There's very evil things on the internet, and there's very good things on the internet. You see what I'm saying? So there's got to be a filter in place when you go onto the internet. And that's very important for us to understand. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So how are they destroyed? Well, we know that we are kings and priests through the blood of Christ. Revelation 1 tells us that we've been made kings and priests. They're destroyed, their function is destroyed. One of the functions is their function as being a priest to the Lord is destroyed. What do priests do in the New Testament? The Bible says we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Okay, spiritual sacrifices, we should know, things like praise, giving, that's a spiritual sacrifice. Devotion is a spiritual sacrifice. The Bible talks about, in Revelation 12 verse 1, offer your body as a sacrifice to the Lord. Okay, a reasonable sacrifice it talks about. So these are spiritual sacrifices that we as priests can offer to the Lord. But notice that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and he says that you'll be no priest to me if you're in that situation. Which means that within the church there has to be a great esteem to the extent of trembling at the word of God, fearing the commandment. There has to be a great esteem for the word of God. So when the word comes, God can work with the people that are preaching, work with the people that are receiving, and confirm the word. He will not confirm the word as truth with signs following to people that reject it, cast it underfoot, lightly esteem it. They're all in the destroyed or destruction category. They're the type of people that aren't going to receive much from the Lord at all. So I pray that today we start to see that it is a very serious thing how we approach the Word of God, so that the Lord can work with us and work with His Word and confirm it in our lives. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You. We thank You for giving us Your Word. We thank You for the presence of Your Spirit. Lord, I pray that Your fear, the fear of the Lord, is established in our life. We devote ourselves to that, that Your Word may be established. I thank You and praise You, Lord. Help every one of us to be people that are completely linked in, tuned in, understanding what Your Word is and how valuable it is to the people of God. We praise You and thank You, Lord, that You have provided this wonderful thing for us. Truth, light. We praise You for that, Lord. And now, Lord, I ask that You confirm Your word amongst Your people, that as people believe what has been spoken even today, there will be a growing reality, a linking in with Your truth, that Your word will be established in our lives. In Jesus' name, thank You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. Thank You.